times, how their prophecies fitted right into the history of what kings were in reign and what was going on, and give you a better picture of how the setting was. And you may have to read your Bible through several times before you really get that picture in your mind. So I personally think it's better to read it in chronological order and then study it any other way you want to. I may read a whole book in one setting. Sometimes I get started, and be reading something. I just keep on going, or sometimes I'll branch off and one scripture remind me another verse, and I go to another book, and then I may read the rest of that book or whatever, But so there's many ways to do it, but for your Bible reading, to read the Bible through, well, I recommend the chronological method. But that's not to say you can't just read it, You don't really need a chart if you're just going to read it straight through, except for knowing that you're reading enough that you're going to get through it this year. There's other Bible reading plans where you read some in the Old Testament, some in the Psalms and poetical books, and some in the New Testament each day. But to me, that gets, it's kind of like wearing different hats. You got to take one off, put the other one on, and try to figure out where am I at, So, but if you'd like to have, a different reading plan than this, I'd be glad to make up some charts for you. You can find them on the internet and free, and download them, print them off. But anyway, if we can help you further with it and you want a different plan than that, well, I'll be glad to help you with it. All right, let's just see what the Lord has for us here tonight.
makes a difference when Jesus passes by. The devil trembles, the enemy flees when Jesus comes on the scene. He always shines a ray of light, the darkening shadows fly. It always makes a difference Jesus, oh Lord. Praise God, praise God. Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? messed up on that, so I'm sorry. But when my Lord picks up the phone, we're going to talk things over. He and I, and he tells me not to worry, not to fret too much, no, not to cry. Something else in there, but that was the main part, I guess, that that I was really feeling. I just couldn't find the right key, and I asked Sister Bryant. She's like, I've never done that, so I don't know what key, so we couldn't get it. But anyway, that is my heart tonight, that anytime whenever I call the Lord, he's always there. How many times have you ever called him and he hadn't answered? Probably should be never, I would think, but he's always there, and I'm so thankful for him. Always makes a difference whenever he passes by, whatever situation, whatever the circumstances are that you're going through. Let's see. When my Lord picks up the phone, we talk things over, he and I, and he tells me not to worry. Not to worry, not to fret too much, no, not to cry. I may be born to toil and struggle, but I don't toil nor try alone. But in my prayer, he takes my heartaches when my Lord picks up the phone. So, so true. And things can just be not going well at all, you know, but you cry out to Jesus Christ and he's right there. And I think so often, or I don't know so often, but pretty often about Brother, I remember Brother Patton saying before that whenever you go to call on the Lord, you shouldn't be but just like a few seconds from speaking in tongues. And I'm not always that close, you know, that it's just a few seconds, but it isn't very long, you know, because you can feel the Lord and he dwells within us. And I want to be closer to him though, so that that time lapse isn't too long in there, you know. And I remember whenever, it's been years, 2008 maybe, in December of 2008, whenever Justice was hit by that car, and, excuse me, and he was just laid out there on the road, and I ran across to get him, and I wanted to hold him up, because I wanted him to stand on his own. I wanted to know that he was okay, but he just was limp in my arms, you know, and I was so scared, and people around me were telling him, you know, lay him down, lay him down. I didn't want to lay him down. I wanted him to walk, you know, but they were saying it's better for him, lay him down. So I laid him down, and then there was these few women that had gathered around me. They just gotten out of their cars and were just around me, and I just cried out on Jesus, you know, and I was like, Jesus, you know, please heal my baby. And I could feel the Lord just come right down immediately, you know, and he was not far away from me that night, and I'm glad. And so he's so good to us. And I was thinking the other day, I thought, you know, I haven't, like, gone through anything really tough or anything lately. I haven't had any, I know, just a minute, haven't had, like, any real big trials or anything. I mean, you know, you got your little things you go through every day, you know, people get on your nerves, those kind of things, but that's not like a really a trial, you know, that's just life. And but I thought, after I thought about that, I remembered Brother Smith talking about how that, you know, you just serve God and just do your life, live your life every day, you know. And I thought, why am I looking for some big thing to happen to me, or thinking that I've got to go through some big trial so that I can then have a testimony and say, oh, God, help me through this, you know. I'm just thankful to be peaceful and just live along and just do and just live my life every day. And, you know, whenever something comes along, he'll be there. And if something big doesn't come along, he's still there. So I just love him, and I just want to just serve him and just do and just live my life and serve him. So anyway, I just feel good today and glad to know that the Lord is always right there for us.
That, you know, like Sister Jody was saying, you know, we know he's there, you know, all the time, but sometimes I need to be reminded by not asking him to come in and help me. And so many little bitty things, I think I was telling Sister Julie about it one day, and she said, they're not little, you know, they're big because God helped you with them. And I said, you know, you're right. You're right. But, you know, I'll just tell you a couple of them that happened that, you know, makes you wonder, or not makes you wonder. It's like I get so overwhelmed when I think about it. One was during the December, our family, you know, with the Dawsons, we drew names and decided, you know, we're just going to do a $30 gift card for everybody, you know, whoever you drew. That way, don't go too high or anything like that. So, anyway, DJ had got one for my brother, and I had it because I thought, well, I want to get him something, but I'll just add $20, you know, make it a $50 gift card. That'd be, you know, more for him. And so I did, and then I gave it to Natalie to wrap it for me, and she put it away. And the night that we were going to, it's before Christmas, we were going to open them, and we couldn't find that card. And I had 2 days before that, I had bought a gift card for my gas, to get gas for my car, because, you know, you get 3 cents off when you get the gift card. So I couldn't find it, and I thought, oh, no, where is it? And so I thought, well, don't worry, guys. I said, I'll use my card and tell them that's from DJ. Okay, we'll do that. You know, then it comes up, we find it later, you know. Well, later never came, and then we had 3 or 4 days went by, and now my car was getting low on gas, and I thought, oh, Lord, oh, that would be wonderful if I find that $50 gift card right now. And I go, and I remember, you know, I'm in the kitchen all the time, the counters, you know, I know where everything is, and I looked everywhere. I mean, I looked in my purses everywhere. And I go to the kitchen, and right there on the counter was that card. Now, don't tell me God didn't put it there. Nobody else did. And I thought, oh, my God, I started crying. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so I went and got me some gas that day. And, you know, I had like $5 left on that card. And so that was one thing, you know, and like she said, that was big, you know, because God did it for me. This necklace right here, my husband got it for me like, oh, 15 years ago or so. It's not that expensive, but it was expensive for me. And this is the only really expensive gift I have. I had told Hannah, this is yours. When Anna dies, it's yours, you know. And I don't want it because I don't want you to die. And I said, well, honey, you know, the time comes. Anyway, one day I lost it here at the church. And Rachel was sitting by me. And I said, you know what? I said, I lost my necklace. I must have not clapped it on real good. She goes, you know what? Dad found one. And what does it look like? I said, it's gold. It's got a heart. He goes, I'll go get it for you. So she went. Sure enough, it was it. And I go, oh, thank you, Lord. Well, happened 2 weeks later, again, fell. And I thought, okay, Lord, I guess I didn't learn my lesson in clasping it. It's my fault. But if you want me to find it, I really would love you to bring it to me somewhere, you know, because I don't know where it is. I looked again everywhere in my dresser, nothing. And on Christmas morning, I go in there to brush my hair, and I look down. There it was in the little coil on the thing. I didn't take it off again, no more. And I said, thank you, Lord, because I thought, okay, never mind, I'll just wear it. If I have to wear something else, you know, I'll hide it or whatever, but never go. But to me, that was, you know, something big, and I wanted to thank God publicly, you know, that, you know, thank you for looking out for me. And every time that I need him to do something, he's always there, finding my keys, my cell phone, because every time that my cell phone's lost, it's on silent, and I can't ring it, you know, I can't have Junior or Stan ring it for me. But back when I was going to say, I was telling Philip, I said, you know what? Oh, because he was asking me to pray for something. And I said, tell you what, I'm going to tell God. I said, God, this is not for me. It's for my son. You know, I know you get tired of hearing me. You know, I'm not going to, for a while, I'm going to let you rest, you know, and find me stuff. He goes, Mom, no, because you're going to put an angel out of business. He goes, he's always, you know, I guess, you know, having to look out for me, you know, because like finding my keys and everything. And matter of fact, that day before, I couldn't find my keys, and something just told me, go outside. I had slept all night, couldn't find them, went out there in the driveway. There we were in the driveway, you know. So it's just things like that that's happened, and that I, you know, I need to be more appreciative, that know that, hey, those little things could be big things. And sure enough, one day, Philip and I went, after the ice storm, my aunt called for some help, and something about the alarm on her thing, it was kept beeping. So me and him went over there, and when we were coming back to church, you know that the light right there in Stagecoach and Colonel Glenn, every time I turn, I come directly to the, the right lane. So I just go like that. But that afternoon, something just said, just go into the left lane. And I did. And as I go into the left lane, Philip goes, oh, my God. I said, what? And the car just shoot like that. I mean, he ran a red light. The guy did. And I thought, oh, my God, thank you, Lord. I mean, if I had gone on the right lane like I always do, that would have been us. I mean, you know, smack whatever. And so, I mean, that was big for me right there because he protected me. So I said, okay, Lord, you know, I hear you, and I know that you're there for me every time, and I'm not going to hesitate to call on you because you said you would never forsake me, and you haven't. So I just want to appreciate, you know, know that he's for me, and as long as I serve him, and I've always, you know, true to my word, then whatever it takes, Lord, whatever I go through, whatever I have to face, you know, I'm going to serve you no matter what, because I know you're going to help me. You have helped me all these years, things that I've gone through that, you know, I didn't die over them. So I'm just so thankful that the trials and the tests that I go through, instead of making me a wimp, you know, they're making me stronger. And I want to be able to, when she was saying about having tests or something, I can't remember to that effect, but, you know, since I don't have a normal job, I don't have pet people that, like, you know, as here's Julie or somebody that talk about people at their job, like Brother Pryor said one time too, certain people. Well, the people that are trying me are the traffic people out there. Okay, I'm sorry, you know, I call them idiots, and not bad names, but you know, that's bad enough. And you know, I shake my fingers at them, and I do this. So at December 31st, I said, God, I says, you is my witness. I am going to be good. I am not going to fuss at those people. I'm just going to smile at them and do whatever they do. And oh, let me tell you, 16 days, he tried me, and I was fine. The 16th day, though, this guy went, I go, you idiot. And I'm, oh, right away. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I blew it. 16 days. I said, well, that afternoon, I go, okay, I already blew it. You know, I'm mad at that. I mean, the other guy, you know, did something else. I mean, it's like they pick on me. But God just showing me I haven't overcame that, and I'm trying. I really am. And they just get under my skin. So, and I probably got under a lot of people's skin when I was driving, because just because I have a handicap sticker don't mean that I'm a slow granny, because I'm not, you know. And so, you know, there again, I go and let them show them. So I just go past them. I said, there you go. Because they pass me, and they get in front of me, and they go like real slow. Have you ever had people do that? They pass you and then just go in front of you. So I just get out of the way. Well, I'm not anymore. I'm not, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I'm really going to try. I really want to. I want to be a better person. I keep saying, God, every morning praying, God, creating me a clean heart and a clean mind. And Lord, lead somebody. And I remember when Brother, he made a really impression on me, and I got the DVD. He's got a funny name. You know the guy that came to Pittman? Finnegan? Yes. See what he say. See, that's another thing I'm praying for. God, refreshing my mind. He was talking about, what was he talking about? Huh? Yeah, that too. But there was some other stuff that really, turned the light. You know, it's like the lights have been on, but nobody was home, you know. And that night I was home. I mean, I got it. And whatever it was, I got it, but right now I can't remember it. But anyway, I got the DVD at home to remind me. That's why I got it, so I can play it over and over again. So whatever it was, I know God's going to help me. And I have the desire to want to do better. And oh, I know, put somebody also in your path. You know, be a light to somebody. And and that's what I also pray, Lord, let me, you know, put somebody in my mind to me to talk to and all that. And he's been doing that. And I don't like say, hey, you need to go to church or anything like that, but somehow it comes in. So Brother Smith, they might not be here today, but there's a whole year ahead of us. I don't know how many people are going to be walking in, but some of them are going to be my fish, and I'm going to win somebody. I am determined. I am positive that it's going to happen. And most of all, I'm determined that I am here to stay.
Because she says what She thinks in what everybody else is really thinking and won't say. That's what me and Andrew's been accused of. But I was thinking a couple of things today. I don't know if I said this last Wednesday or not, but when I was home for 2 months with Bonnie, I think I came maybe once or twice to church when she was so sick. And when I got to come to church, I thought, what a privilege. I mean, I always knew it was good to go to church, but I mean, when you can't go to church and there's nothing wrong with you that you can't go to church, but circumstances make it where you can't go to church. When I got to church, I thought, oh, what a privilege it is to be here. So now when Bonnie says, do we have to go to church today? And I go, no, we get to go to church today. It is a privilege. Yeah, you're right. You know. But when I was running late this morning, some things came up at home. When I walked in those doors, Sister Jody was singing, and the Spirit of God was moving like that. I was feeling so blessed to be here. You know, I was running late. I could have said, well, everything's going wrong, body, you know, everything. I'm going to be late. I'm going to stay home. But I was determined I was going to get here. And to walk in and feel the power of God, I sometimes think, we had guests this morning, you know, I don't know what it's like to just come in and feel it. You know, I mean, I know what it's like to be in here and feel it. But to walk in and feel it. And when I walked in, that today, and I felt it so strong, and I saw our guests and stuff, and I thought, Lord, surely they're feeling this. Surely they're feeling this. And what a privilege it is to serve you and to be here and to be among your people. Yes, we have problems. When people come talk to me about certain things, you know, in the church or something, I'd say, this is a family. And when I went to religion, we weren't really a family. We saw each other for 45 minutes in the morning or maybe Sunday school and then church. And then you usually didn't go out to eat with them or anything. You may or you may not. And then didn't see them again the next service. And everybody was at their best behavior. But when you go around your family, everybody is family. When you go to your natural family or you get together with your natural family, whether it's a holiday or for dinner, there's a whole different deal. You know them and they know you. And sometimes you can get mad at your natural family or they can rub you wrong. I said, this is your family. They're not perfect. You have to love them anyway, just like they have to love you. And I am so thankful for this family. I never had a family like this. I had a family, but it wasn't like this. And I love this family of God. When Sister Pryor was testifying, I was thinking, it gets sweeter. It gets sweeter as the day goes by. And the older I get and the longer I serve Him, I don't know the words of the song, I'm making up my own. But it gets sweeter. I'm more excited. And when she's talking about trials, I feel so good when I'm not under one of those real stresses, you know, but He's always there. I've never went through anything that He didn't meet me, ever, 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 ever. So why do we doubt Him, and why are we surprised when He does? So I just want to say how happy I am to be here, and the spirit that I feel is so wonderful, and the testimonies from Sister Pryor and Sister Fisher it just really blessed me.
And what I did, I saw a lot of things that I had did through my life. And when I had that story, I decided to get on my knees and ask God to forgive me for all of it. And the feeling I got when I got up was so light that I had never experienced in my life. And if 5 months ago, I couldn't even hold a job because I was drinking. And when I went to work the other day, my name was up there as Employee of the Month. And I'm so grateful. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate the people here, especially the people who, like I said, take me under their wings and have and prayed for me and helped me get through this thing of leaving drugs and alcohol out of my life. And if people like the pastor, Brother Ron, Brett, and all the brothers would come up and share, because they knew my story. I told them, you know. And I'm not ashamed of it anymore. That's what I did. But that's not who I am now, you know, because of Jesus. And I appreciate everybody here. Thank you.
The comb that's the second time they've been here, and they told me they was looking for a home church. His dad pastors a church down in Hot Springs, and they just moved up here recently, so they're interested in our church. Brother Ron Johnson, I think, is the one that invited them. So he's one up on us almost. Maybe two. Y'all better get busy.
Sunday's like your, you know, your rejuvenation day for the week ahead, and then thank goodness for Wednesday night to help us through the middle of the week. And I wasn't here Wednesday night. Mama had gotten really sick, and when I got to the hospital Monday, she was non-responsive, and I really thought, you know, this is it. But God came on the scene and answered a prayer for us. And I'm so thankful for that. But today, I enjoyed Bible study so much. And then as the service just kept going all day long, and the words that were said, and Sister Jody's song, and then Sister Smith mentioned about Sweeter. And right before Brother Smith closed today, I was, I don't know why it entered my mind, but with what he had talked on, the chorus came in my mind of, "My journey gets sweeter every day, walking and talking with Jesus." And so just hearing the testimonies tonight just really makes my life, you know, it is sweeter every day. And then when Brother Vaughn got up, that just kind of put a little Cool Whip and cherry on the top of why we need to walk the walk that we walk, you know, and continue going on, because there's more coming in to help us with our journey. And I just want the Lord to know that I'm so thankful, and I do believe my journey is getting sweeter every day.
are some things I may not know. There are some places I don't go, but I am sure of this one thing. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's been a good day today. Sometimes the burdens, you know, not just burdens of everyday life. I guess my life as a minister, I don't have too much everyday life problems. not too many, they're minor. But my life is enveloped in the ministry and in the body of Christ. And so I feel the burden of that. And, you know, God, you know, I'll just tell you, you all, here's how it works, even in a local church. You'll have to stay in here long enough to really see this for what it really is before you can really be a whole lot of help to it. You can't be a pillar in the house of God until you know what you're holding up. And you've got to, you know, you have to get to a place that you can know yourself, know who you are, know really where you're at in God. You can't be way down here if God's already brought you up to a higher place, but you can't be way up here if God hadn't brought you up to that height. You've got to first find yourself. It's kind of like children, you know. A child has to grow up to a certain place before he can help others. At first, it's just tie my shoes. I'm hungry. Fix me something to eat. I want a glass of water. And, you know, everything. Clothe me and the whole nine yards. But you finally have to grow up to a place where you can kind of clothe yourself, tie your own shoes, feed yourself. A little while, you'll need to help your little brother or your sister. And you won't be able to help them much more than just those natural needs until you get up a little more mature and older in life to help them go through life's problems. So, you know, when you first come into a church, well, you just, you know, everybody reaches out to you and makes you feel good, and that's good. You probably wouldn't stay. I wouldn't have stayed if y'all hadn't treated me good. I just went on down the road probably. But I did stay long enough that y'all, is like Sister Smith said, y'all became family to me. Then y'all got to treat me like a little brother. You know, I wasn't so important of a guest anymore. I just expected to be here and do my part, which wasn't too big, but I felt that. But you finally have to get to a place to where you know where you're at in here. You know where everybody else is. And you know all the problems. And you're willing to stay in here, be part of the family and part of the problems. Deal with the problems. And wait on God and pray and get God to help us get through what the church may be going through. Sometimes we're on top of the mountain. There's other times we're down in the valley. Somebody, I can't remember right now who it was, and I'm going to try not to remember, so I won't tell you, but somebody told me at the meeting, said, "I'm sick and tired of the dry services we've been having at home." It was the pastor telling me, so it wasn't anybody, you know, running his church down. But he just, you know, and when he said that, I just understood that they're just going, you know, through something that's normal. And because I know the church, and I know that they have more good services than they do bad, so it'll come back around in a little while. But we all go through those things, and it's that way in the general body, when the ministry, when you know, before you can be effective in this body to try to be a help and have a voice that will lend strength, and we are to all want to grow to that place. If you're wanting to be in the bride, you're going to have to be a ruler. You're going to have to learn how to be an example. But sometimes the burdens of all of that gets weighty. You try to figure out how in the world are we going to get all this fixed. I'll tell you this morning, that good spirit came in here. God touched me. I thought this right here is what makes all the difference in the world. This is what helps you to know we are going to make it through. Every once in a while, he just lets you know that I'm still in charge of this rig. I'm still on the throne. I still care about all of you. I'm here to let you know that I'm with you. You'll think, oh God, how could I ever make it without this? This just a touch. My Lord, what a sister Inez was singing that song, My God is Real. How many times has he showed you he's real? You may go through your struggles and your trials and all of your, you know, little ins and outs. But when he lets you know I'm still your king, I still love you, I'm here with you, you're not going through this alone, it just changes everything, changes your whole outlook. Lifts your faith back up. You quit having doubt, and just faith in our own strength. Zechariah said, it's not by might. Thank God that scripture's in there. Nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And this all started when his spirit moved out across the face of the deep. His spirit creates, it lifts, it changes. And we just have to keep our confidence in him. And even though I was saying this morning, he wants us to grow up to a place where he gives us the reins and says, here, you've grown to a place, you know how I would respond in just about every situation. But when you get there, you'll know that there's nothing in me that was able to get here. But it's him in me. It's what he's done in my life, and the resident Spirit of God, power of God, and all that he has that's working in my life that's causing me to be who I am. My God, can you imagine being an overcomer? And I don't know what ruling and reigning with him for 1,000 years is going to be in a celestial body. I hope you're there with me, but if you're not, I might appear to you someday if I make it. Well, come on, go with me. Come on, there's plenty of room. Think about it. My Lord. Can you think about Daniel saw it. It was 10,000 times 10,000. That's 100 million, isn't it? Somebody give me a figure on that. I believe I've got it right. 100 million. Yeah, wait till 100 million starts praising him. And then thousands of thousands. A number that no man can number. I don't know. The other day I was in the Atlanta airport and I turned to go down Terminal B, and I guess there must have been every gate in Terminal B must have just let out people out the plane. And there must have been people headed to every gate to get on the plane, because all I could see was people. I thought, Lord, how am I going to ever get to gate 52? I was standing, somehow or another, it was a little higher. And I looked, it just looked like wall-to-wall people coming at me and going away from me at the same time. I thought, my Lord, here I go. Well, it was a crowd, but I don't know what the bride of Christ is going to be like, but I can just tell you, when we're getting our instructions for that next world, I want to be there. I want to experience all this. I'm in this for the kill. I mean, kill the old man. But I'm in it, you know, to finish the race. I'm not just in this some hope so, maybe so. I made up my mind. I want to make the mark of the prize of the high calling. There's a high calling, and I've been called to it. I hear the voice of the bride and the bridegroom. Hallelujah. I hear the bridegroom saying, come up hither. And I hear the bride saying, we're coming, Lord. We're coming. I hear the bride saying, I'm coming. I'm coming back. And I hear the bride saying, even so, Lord, come quickly. Well, there's a part of us. There's an inner man that when he hears that words, it excites the inner man. Something in the old man that thinks, oh God, I'm not in such a big hurry. But the inward man, there's something in the inner man that there's a knowing that to escape the damnation and the corruption of this life is no feat at all. But it's a rejoicing. Something wonderful, marvelous, and great, and I want to go. And I wouldn't care. The inner man will say, I don't care if you get a load to go tonight. I want to go. The outer man may be saying, whoop, 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 whoop. But the inner man saying, hush, 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 hush. Oh, if we can do that dying daily, like Paul, just die to the old man and say, God, help me. Well, be encouraged, saints. Try to encourage yourself in the Lord. Every day, say, God, I can do this. With your help and your spirit and the good word of God that's been planted in my heart, I can live this life. I can be an overcomer. You don't have to be an perfect overcomer today, but you don't have to sin today. If you just move over into all that you know, I think you're getting close to where you can cast down every imagination and every high thing that it exalts itself above the name of Christ. Hallelujah. So I'm encouraged today. Y'all have helped me. I feel like I can make it. We sing that song, we're going to make it. By the Spirit of the Lord, we'll make it through. So, hope you feel encouraged today. I sure do. I should probably tell you that so far we still don't know anything definite on Sister Wilkins, but we have heard from her son, Phil, and he has to meet with the funeral home again in the morning at 10 o'clock, and I'm sure then he'll let us know, but right now they're planning on having the funeral Saturday at 11 a.m. here in our church. That's what they're hoping that the funeral home can get. And that'd be good if you could, because Sister Wilkins, I don't know why, but she wanted to be buried on Saturday. She always wanted her funeral on Saturday. Yeah, she didn't want trouble, folks. And so, anyway, she's a precious thing. She was little, but she was, you know, my little mama used to say, she used to tell my daddy when they would get, you know, a ruffle, she'd just say, sometimes she'd say, remember, dynamite comes in small packages. She used to threaten him. She'd threaten him that way. Sister Wilkins, she was a little fireball herself. Yeah, she was precious. And I know that she'll probably have a large funeral. But anyway, that's the information that we have right now. And I'm sure you'll all catch it on probably tomorrow on Facebook or something. But we'll for sure know by Wednesday night. So, anyway, let's all just stand. Give him a praise before we go home. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, for your touch today. Oh, for your sweet spirit, Lord God, your encouragement. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lamb of God, we love you, Lord. Appreciate your goodness and your mercy and your great grace, oh God. Go with your people. Direct their steps. Oh, hallelujah. God, let us be used of you. Let us meet someone that needs to know more about you, that you would like to bring this way. Oh, God, we pray. Amen. All right, now, everybody look at your clock. Don't ever say that he has held us over, but he does let us go early sometimes. Good night.